You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 600.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Mayor of Chicken Town.
Hello.
Okay, Cornflake's still out. This is 2 weeks in a row without Cornflake. Unprecedented, possibly.
I know, we miss you, Cornflake.
Yeah, this is crazy. Yeah, Cornflake was not available last week, and then it happened again. So, yeah, here we are at our big episode 600, which we hate to do without Cornflake. The good news is it's not going to be a big 600 show. This is going to be a stupid little nothing show.
Yep. That's all we have in us right now.
Good promise right at the top of the show.
You know, this will be lame.
Get everybody all excited about this week's episode. So it's, yeah, nice short, simple episode 600. And then hopefully we'll get Cornflake back on board.
For the next 600.
For the next 600 episodes over the next 600 weeks.
I mean, that's very impressive.
It's ridiculous. We've been doing this, when we say episode 600, it's been every 7 days for 600 weeks.
Yeah. I mean,
what are we doing?
I don't know very many podcasts that reach this level.
I mean, to be both the longest running and most popular podcast in history.
Yeah.
These are astonishing accomplishments, and we're just rolling along as if nobody's listening.
Right. And as if no one's paying us.
Nobody's paying. You know, that's certainly true.
We don't even have a Patreon.
We got nothing. But here we are. So this is just going to be a little bit of follow-up, a little bit of, you know, episode 600 silliness.
Mm-hmm.
So last week, well, you weren't here last week because our fill-in guest co-host last week was Kevin, the other Kevin.
Yes, that was a really fun show.
We did a show last week about the Lincoln Mall, which was a little mall in Northern Rhode Island, where both Kevins, me and our other buddy, Kevin Cafferty, spent a lot of time back in the 80s and 90s and such. That was fun. We've been meaning to do that for a couple of years.
Yeah, that was cool. And it made me think about our own little local mall, which was really barely even a mall.
Well, that was my hope, was that people who did not go to Lincoln Mall would have something they could relate and compare it to.
Yep.
So you didn't go to the Lincoln Mall when you were a kid?
No, we went to Swampscott Mall, which was, it was anchored by Bradley's at one end.
Yeah.
And I know at one point it was Walgreens at the other end, but I think it was another drugstore, just like an independent drugstore first.
Yeah, Ziggy's. For a long time, the Ziggy comic strip had an affiliated pharmacy chain. Everybody knows that.
I remember that there was a cheese shop.
Ooh.
And like the guy who worked there was kind of like
creepy.
Funny and weird. So we would go in there and like buy lollipops, but he would always like be a strange guy who liked. But no.
That sounds terrifying.
I didn't mean that to sound too creepy.
Well, that's how it came out. So officially, Swampscott Cheese Shop guy, creepy.
They also had a Walden Books, which was definitely my bookstore where I would go to get all of my science fiction and fantasy books.
We all loved Walden Books back in the day. So yeah, I figured everybody has a scruffy, goofy little mall in their dark, shady past so they could relate. We got some feedback, quite a bit of feedback. For Flopcast standards, a lot of feedback.
Angry feedback?
By which we mean some of it angry, most of it angry every week.
Did you get more feedback than you did for the Monster Cereal episode?
Usually every week our feedback is things like, please stop, things like that.
What were you thinking?
I don't know. We heard from a few people, though, more than usual. Probably Rhode Island people. It doesn't take much response for it to be more response than we usually get. But
true.
We got a few, and we have to do a correction because in the mall episode last week, we were talking about Spencer Gifts, the naughty, ridiculous, goofy novelty gift shop.
See, I feel like it was naughty even in the 80s.
Oh, it was. It was. Okay. But it's much, much naughtier today, from what I hear. I haven't been to Spencer in 30 years or 40 years. But I said in the course of that episode that that's where the girls would go to get stickers. There were sticker girls. Girls back then were obsessed with, they'd get albums, they'd buy stickers of unicorns and rainbows and I don't know, Rick Springfield, whatever they were buying stickers of.
Then I'm embarrassed to say I kind of got in on that trend.
Yeah, see, it was all sticker girls back then. And in my memory, this was all also happening at Spencer Gifts. Well, we heard from the sticker girls.
They came out. Angry sticker girls.
Yes, we got
sticker
their attention.
Sticker riot girls.
Yes. So we heard from, at least a couple of 80s sticker girls came forward and said, no, that was not Spencer Gifts. There was a whole other place called Windsor Button Shop.
You know what? We had a Windsor Button Shop, not at the mall I was just talking about, but at North Shore Mall.
So you went to the Windsor Button Shop as well? Okay, that name meant nothing to me.
Yeah, and I know I didn't know there was more than one.
I know I've been in there because I remember seeing the girls.
You were stalking the sticker girls?
I'd stand there creepily watching as the girls poured through the rolls of stickers, evidently, at Windsor Button Shop.
Now, I don't remember there being stickers. I remember it being more like a craft store, or maybe craft stores, I guess, have stickers, but I would get needlepoint kits there.
They must have buttons. It's the Windsor Button Shop.
Yeah. I would think of it as like mostly sewing notions and things like that. And I'm pretty sure that that's where I would get my needlepoint kits.
Well, I had no memory of that name, but that's where the sticker action was happening at the Lincoln Mall.
It's good to have that clarification.
And beyond. Yeah, because yikes, the sticker girls were furious. They're coming for us, I think. But that was an important bit of follow-up. So with that unpleasantness out of the way, it is 600, so we will acknowledge that. And yeah, we've done something or other every 100 episodes over the course of the Flopcast, because I know episode 100, you came on the show and presented Cornflake and I with the keys to Chickentown.
That's right. Yeah, that was a momentous occasion.
So that was probably the best thing that ever happened on one of these every 100 episode spectaculars.
Yeah, well, I was kind of hoping you'd retire at that point. And right. So, you know,
we'd wrap it up.
As more and more, as you finish more and more cycles of 100 episodes, I got nothing anymore.
Yeah. Instead, we just kept doing the show, but now we have keys to Chickentown and we can just poke around.
Yeah, that was a bad idea. I should have changed the locks a long time ago.
Explore areas of the city that we're not supposed to be in. I know that something else that we have done, though, on some of these shows like episode 200, episode 300, mm-hmm. whatever, I'd look at some old comic books sometimes, because in the comics, it'd be like, here's Batman issue 300 or whatever, and we'd see what they did to celebrate. So we flipped through some old comics like that. And 600, I don't have too many comic books that are number 600.
Yeah, I would think of it. Not many get that far. And even if they do, they reset at some point.
Oh, yeah. The only one that I grabbed today to take a quick look at was, I do have here Action Comics number 600.
Ooh.
So Action Comics, this is the comic book that Superman first appeared in, Action number 1. So this is both Action number 600, and it says on it Golden Anniversary Issues, because this was also the 50th anniversary of Superman.
Oh, okay, so it was...
This is 1988 when this comic came out.
Yeah, so it's like a double milestone issue.
Superman was 50 in 1988. I remember that. They did a bunch of junk to celebrate Superman being 50. There was a TV special. There was a weird network TV special about Superman that Dana Carvey hosted.
So why does that sound slightly familiar?
I assume it was on NBC. They it was weird because there were like bizarre comedy segments with Dana Carvey, and then they'd show a bunch of clips from the old cartoons and movies and stuff. And they put out this comic book. Look at that, with Superman and Wonder Woman just making out on the cover.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Everybody was shipping them, and now they finally consummated it.
Yeah, that's the lead story. It's John Byrne and George Perez, our old buddy George Perez, worked on this. And yeah, they're like exploring the idea of, should we start dating? And then they get pulled away to have a fight with Darkseid.
Okay.
And that's the story. But flipping through this, though, there was a page in here I saw. Here it is. There's a whole page of like little tiny, like classified, goofy type comic book ads. And it's all stuff like bodybuilding, you know, programs.
Sea monkeys. And
the sea monkeys are not on this page, but there is the closest to that is there's an ad for live catch traps. Oh. You could buy animal traps. I don't know what that's about. Like to catch
possums,
chipmunks,
squirrels,
rabbits.
Oh no! Don't catch the rabbits.
Mink. Catch a mink.
No, mink are nasty. I believe they're pretty nasty creatures.
Yeah, you could like send away, and I guess they'd send you a box to put a rabbit in.
Yeah.
Let me see. There's something called the Amazing Plastic Flexagon.
A flexagon.
It looks like some kind of little plastic toy. It says it flexes to reveal six hidden colors. intrigue your friends.
What?
$3.
Okay.
Then there's one, the Roomerang, the indoor boomerang, amazing, safe, and fun. A straight boomerang flies 8 to 10 feet and flutters back, defying logic.
All right, I'm going to need to see some YouTube videos of people who actually have these things.
Get yourself a Roomerang. That's $6.
That's a lot. That's twice as much as the Flexagon.
Yeah, for what I'm guessing is like a little piece of paper. Here's the best one, though. This is what we need to get. Mm-hmm. It says, appear invisible. Sort of an oxymoronic title. Ancient secret revealed. Works every time. Apparently go into places you could never go before. Your friends can hear you, but they can't see you. Appear invisible anywhere, anytime. $5.
Whoa.
There's a P.O. box in Utah.
these all go to the same.
All different addresses, but yeah, okay. They probably all get funneled to one creepy warehouse somewhere in Pueblo, Colorado.
What do you suppose that is? Is it just like something to thrill your voice?
I have no idea what they're talking about. And then it says after the P.O. box address, it says
void in every state.
Bonus. Order now and get free course on mind reading and ESP.
Oh. They're really kind of setting you up to be a creep.
I feel like that part's a trick. They're not going to really teach you how to read minds. But
no, because
invisibility, that's probably on the level.
Okay. We'll have to put the call out to see if anyone sent away for any of those things.
Yeah, does anybody know what that is? Let us know. I've got a book. There's a book called Mail Order Mysteries. Where I think you got it for me some years back. And yeah, it shows you, here's the ad, and then here's what you'd actually get. But I don't think that thing is so tiny and stupid little ad about being invisible. I don't think that's in the book.
Oh, that's too bad. There's got to be someone out there who sent away for that.
I think what this means is road trip to Utah. Mm-hmm. We'll get to the bottom of this little mystery. So a couple of other quick things to celebrate episode 600. One thing I did, again, we thought Cornflake was going to be here. And Cornflake loves guessing the songs in this giant Ranking the 80s book.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to be so enthusiastic.
Yeah. Nobody's as enthusiastic as Cornflake. But usually when we take out this book, we'll pick a number at random and see what number that is. Because this book has like mathematically ranked based on chart performance every hit song from the 80s. Mm. There's thousands of entries in it, and it's just tons of weird, obscure chart data about every song from the 80s. So for today, though, I thought, what if we just see what's at number 600?
Let's do it.
We don't even need the supercomputer to give us a random number. Okay, here we go. I'm at song number 600. Just to set the table, coming in at 599, Obsession by Animotion.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know that one.
Yeah, it's a good song.
I saw Animotion live.
I know.
At the V66 movie fundraiser concert, Animotion Live. It was a very, very, very strange thing to witness. Number 601, John Cougar Mellencamp, Small Town.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so these are legitimate hit songs talking about. Because we're only in the 600s. This goes into the thousands.
Sure.
This book, it trickles down to stuff that nobody remembers. But number 600, well, it's by an act that we have seen live together, you and I. And it's by an act that I also saw separately without you were not there that day, but not performing. They were just there.
Huh. The Go-Go's.
Go-Go's is a fine, fine guess, but no, it's not the Go-Go's. It's Hall & Oates.
That's right. You saw Hall & Oates out in the wild.
Cornflake and I, together, we were at Fump Fest, I believe, the funny music convention. And yeah, they came wandering through the hotel lobby where we were all just hanging out, and we freaked out quietly. Hall & Oates at number 600 with Everything Your Heart Desires.
That's an okay song.
Yeah.
Not one of my favorites.
If you were just listing Hall & Oates songs, that's one that you'd forget to even put on the list. Kind of a quiet hit song for them, but a hit nonetheless. Went up to number 3.
Wow.
1988.
Yeah, they could do no wrong for a while.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a lovely song, but not one that really pops out in the Hall & Oates catalog.
Yeah.
It's no Kiss on My List.
No.
But what is?
That's the best one.
That was the peak.
Well, they've got a lot of great songs. But something I like a lot about that one.
Oh, me too. Absolutely one of my favorite. I like goofy, poppy Hall & Oates. Mm-hmm. more than the quieter, slower, everything your heart desires at number 600. But there you go. All right, so that's our fun with the ranking the 80s book. And the only other, again, we're trying to keep this super short because we're just waiting for Cornflake to get back here.
Yes.
But
please come back.
Yeah, you know? I had one other thing, though. I was thinking about movies. You know, we covered music here. Mm-hmm. And
comics.
We went into comic books. Yes, action. Action number 600. Yeah, so I wanted to hit movies as well. And what I was thinking is, what's the number 600 movie of all time?
Of all time?
All time. And when you talk about movies, all-time biggest movies, this always makes me crazy because they always go by dollar amount. It's
which
always
is, yeah, which is not
box office.
Yeah, it doesn't scale, you know.
Most lists of here's the top movies of all time, they just look stupid to me because it's always stuff from just within the last few years, because now it costs $15 to go to a movie or whatever, whereas it used to cost 50 cents. And so it's not really a fair comparison. You know, I'm always thinking, well, how many tickets did they sell?
Yeah.
That's what they never, like TV, they tell you ratings. Books, it's how many millions of copies did you sell? Music, you know, same thing. Gold albums, that's how many millions of records did you sell? For some reason, that all goes out the window when it comes to movies, and they just tell you how much money did the studio make? And I'm like, I really don't care.
That's a good point.
You know, but that's how they do it. So if you go to a regular list of the top movies of all time, like here's the top 10, all right, going from 10 up to 1, The Avengers, Lion King, Jurassic World, Spider-Man No Way Home, Avengers Infinity War, Star Wars 7, The Force Awakens, Titanic, Avatar, The Way of Water, Avengers Endgame, and then number one is just regular Avatar.
Okay.
That's the top 10.
Sure.
So are those the 10 most popular movies of all time?
No.
No. So if you know where to look, though, if you look a little deeper, you can get to...
On the dark web?
You got to go on the dark web. Yeah. You have to weed past all the human trafficking and illegal drug sales going on. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing that you get to, page 3 of the dark web, is... Here's the top 10 movies adjusted for inflation. So here's actual movies more closely based on popularity, you know, which is what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Number 10, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. See, we're going back a ways.
That's
now
like the oldest movie that there
ever
is.
Yeah. Number 9, The Exorcist. 8, Dr. Zhivago.
Wow.
7, Jaws. 6, The Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. 5, Titanic. Okay, we're into the 90s now, finally, with Titanic. 4, E.T. 3, The Sound of Music.
Mm-hmm.
2, Star Wars 4, A New Hope. That's, you know, actual Star Wars. Yes. That's real, original Star Wars.
Star Wars film.
Number 1, Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
That's an insanely popular movie.
I've never even seen that. I've never seen the most popular movie of all time.
I've never seen it. I've never seen The Ten Commandments.
Yeah,
I've
there's several movies on this.
Dr. Zhivago.
Yes.
Never seen The Exorcist.
A bunch of these we've never even seen.
Yeah.
But I like this list, though, because I want to see, okay, adjusted for inflation.
Yeah.
That's a little more interesting to me. Now, what's at number 600? Again, if we go back to the regular list, just not adjusting for inflation, just based on dollar amount, number 600 from 1996, The Nutty Professor.
Oh, goodness.
Is that Eddie Murphy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he made a bunch of those like goofy movies like that in the 90s.
Yeah, he did like a Dr. Dolittle too, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I didn't see The Nutty Professor.
I don't think I did, but I can't.
There's a chance you saw The Nutty
Professor? There's a chance that I saw it. I don't, not a very big chance, but I feel like I saw one of those movies where he plays like a lot of different characters.
Yeah. He did that in Steel Magnolias.
Right.
Most people don't know that. That was all Eddie.
Yes.
Absolutely. So going by the not adjusted list anyway, Nutty Professor, so who cares? Now, I looked at the adjusted for inflation list, and you can go all the way back. This is a Box Office Mojo is the website. Let's give them credit for putting these lists out there that we can play with like this. Number 600 movie adjusted for inflation. It's from the 80s.
Okay.
So that's cool. This is a movie that I saw.
All right.
I actually remember going to see it back then. It was 1989, coming in at number 600, The War of the Roses.
Oh, yeah. I saw that, too.
You saw that, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just saw it the one time.
Yeah, I only saw it once.
Yeah. So that's Michael Douglas. That's Kathleen Turner.
Yeah.
It's Danny DeVito. It's the Romancing the Stone cast.
Yes, but in a...
Reunited.
In a movie where they hate each other.
Yeah. Well, they reunited for Jewel of the Nile.
Yes.
And then they reunited a third time, but not part of the trilogy.
No. unrelated. They're not playing the same characters.
I don't think they are. Yeah. So it was like a dark comedy about a couple that suddenly hated each other and were at war. It was the War of the Roses. Yeah. I remember it, and I seem to have enjoyed it at the time, although I don't remember it very well.
I don't remember the details or why they couldn't just get divorced and go their separate ways. They just had to like keep trying to destroy each other, keep trying to one-up each other.
It was like a big, crazy battle.
Yes.
And it was a black comedy, a dark comedy, you'd call it.
Yeah, and I think Danny DeVito was like the narrator. Right. And he was like, don't let it, it was a cautionary tale.
Right. Do you think it would hold up?
No.
Unwatchable today, as far as we know.
I don't know. I feel like black comedies. Well, I don't know. I guess some of them hold up, like Heathers.
I was thinking of Heathers. Same year. That was also 1989. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if I could name another black comedy. There must be other ones out there.
Yeah. I think of Death Becomes Her. I didn't see that, but that's a pretty well-known one.
Chicken Little. That's at number 597 on this list that I'm looking at.
That's why you mentioned it.
Yeah. This might be strictly a list of black comedies.
Okay.
Yeah, like Chicken Little. Now, as far as I can recall, for War of the Roses, Billy Ocean did not make a music video where the three actors, pretended that they were in the band.
I think you're right there. Yeah. I do not think that happened.
So we really missed out there, because for Jewel of the Nile, we got When the Going Gets Tough.
What movie was Loverboy for?
I don't think that was for a movie.
But it was a movie.
They made their own movie for that. The greatest movie of all time, the Billy Ocean Loverboy music video, which you can watch every week on Sci-Fi Explosion Twitch stream.
Yeah, I mean, Chris has really convinced me that is the greatest video of all time.
Oh, it absolutely is. So, War of the Roses really pales by comparison to the Loverboy video. That's the lesson that we want to put out today for episode 600.
Right, the Loverboy video holds up.
Yeah, so what have we learned today about
the state of the world?
600.
600.
600 things in general.
We learned that 600 is a lot.
We learned that you can turn invisible for $5.
Yes.
That's good to know.
We learned that stickers come from Windsor Button Shop.
Right.
Not Spencer's.
We were all wrong about stickers and sticker girls. Hall & Oates, we learned a lot about.
Yes. That gives me a lot to think about.
Hall & Oates are at number 600.
I mean, 600 is a big number. You gotta have something that has gone on for a long time to get to number 600.
Yeah, that's why we're having such a massive celebration this week.
We just, we're not good with milestones.
Ah, we're sleepy.
They sneak up on us and then they're like,
We only have 100 weeks to prepare for episode 700. Oops. We'll have to get to work on that.
Send us your recommendations now.
Yeah. Again, the recommendations we get every week is please stop. That's the mess. So we'll consider it. Okay. All right.
We'll take
it under advisement. Meanwhile, I guess let's wrap up this big milestone episode spectacular.
Sorry.
Get out of here. Can you do the cornflake wrap-up part?
Yes. You can find us at flopcast.net. We're at facebook.com/flopcast, on Instagram at @_flopcast, and on Mastodon at universidon.com/@flopcast. You can also leave us a rating and or review on iTunes, and you can find us on any other podcast platform that you like. The music for the Flopcast was written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness came in at number 602 in this Ranking the 80s book.
Wow!
I think we had like a deep album track on the War of the Roses soundtrack.
Oh, it's all coming together.
It was a contractual obligation. We didn't really pour our hearts into it.
Mm-hmm.
But huge payday for us by Sponge Awareness standards. It was $14. We'll take it. Thanks for filling in for Cornflake, the mayor of Chickentown.
I'm always happy to fill in.
Yes.
But we also want Cornflake back.
Yikes, we miss Cornflake. So hopefully we'll have Cornflake back next week for 601. And who knows, maybe we'll even do something on the show then. Weirder things have happened. Meanwhile, everybody, thanks for hanging out with us for the last 600 weeks. What's wrong with all of you? And of course, please, everybody, be safe, be kind, be silly. And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Pardon the interruption. We'll bring you back to your podcast in just a moment. But first, promo for the Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
Here on the ESO Network, three hosts recommend this podcast.
I recommend it.
I recommend it.
And I recommend it.
On the Cosmic Pizza Podcast, it's a slice of life as we discuss literally anything in the universe. Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
Here to serve all of your needs.
Wednesday, I'm here with you people. It's, like, wild.
No pizzas were harmed in the creation of this podcast.
All right, it's the secret after show. You know what I've been staring at through this whole show? Is the console of the studio in front of me is mm-hmm. covered in little Halloween wind-up toys.
Yeah, you. I think you brought those into the studio. You were responsible for those.
I came into possession of a huge sack of little goofy Halloween wind-up toys, and I gave away a bunch of them.
But we still have a lot of them.
But there's not to trick-or-treating kids, mind you.
No.
Just to other people, adults that I know.
For the second year in a row, we had zero trick-or-treaters.
Yeah, that's how we like it. So, yeah, we're still just lousy with little weird Halloween wind-up guys around here. There's little talking tooth monsters. There's a mummy.
Mm-hmm.
There's eyeballs. There's like an eyeball with feet.
Yeah, those are kind of creepy.
One of them. There he goes. One of them glows in the dark. I have a glow-in-the-dark eyeball here.
Can you hear it glow in the dark?
Yeah, listen to it. Here's a third eyeball.
Wow, this might be the most exciting secret after show ever.
We've never had this many hopping wind-up eyeballs on the show
ever before. You wouldn't know.
That's an excellent point. Maybe we do this every week because I never remember we do.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.